Good morning. This is our prayer line. We're starting with the devotional, God, and we're going to have a discussion about it. Welcome for those of you that will be listening in via record. Welcome to those of you that are on the prayer line. We are your hosts. I'm Tamika Glover. I'm calling from Massachusetts. And Andrew, you can introduce yourself.
I'm Andrew Whitaker from Kentucky.
Okay, and we're going to go ahead and get started. I'm going to open in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the privilege, Lord, of prayer, Lord. And we thank you for technology that has enabled us to reach out to others via phone, via internet, and things of that nature. Lord, we ask that you will open the doors more and more so that we can reach others through prayer and through your word. And we ask now that as we look at your word for our devotional thought this morning, that you will guide us and your Holy Spirit will be with us and you will speak to our minds. You will impress our hearts of what is good for us from your word. And thank you, Lord. Help us to draw closer in a love relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And I want to let everyone know that we are a part of Inspirited Network Ministries. You can check us out at inspiritednetwork.com or on Facebook. We have a page. You can add us, and we can let you know the different things going on from here and there. We have Bible studies and things like that online and via telephone conference, as well as a public access TV show that John is working on. John is the CEO, John Spellman. Okay, Ecclesiastics, we're gonna read from Ecclesiastics chapter 9, and we're gonna start at verse 4. And it reads, "But he who is joined with all the living has hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing, and they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Their love and their hate and their envy have already perished, and forever they have no more share in all that is done under the sun. Go eat your bread in joy and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already approved what you do. Let your garments always be white. Let not oil be lacking on your head. Enjoy life with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life that he has given you under the sun, because that is your portion in life and in your toil at which you toil under the sun. Whatever your hands find to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you are going." And I was reading from the English Standard Version. And Andrew, I'll let you go ahead and talk first about your impressions from the Bible reading.
Well, I was just impressed with verse 7 and verse 9, where it talks about eating your bread with joy, drinking your wine with a merry heart, and then living joyfully with a wife whom you love all the days of your vain life. And what I was thinking about is Jesus wants us to be happy and joyful. It's like, okay, when you eat your bread, when you're eating, be joyful, okay? When you're drinking your wine or when you're receiving the Holy Spirit, Make sure you're joyful, because well, it's like wine is a symbol for the Holy Spirit, and in the Bible, destroy not the new wine in the cluster because there's a blessing in it. I think that's in another part of the Bible. I think it's in like Isaiah, but the new wine is like a symbol for like the Holy Spirit, and when we receive the Holy Spirit, there's joy in the life and there's joy in the heart. And Jesus is the bread of life. And with the bread, bread is a symbol of, you know, the body of Jesus. And so with Jesus, with partaking of the sacrifice of Christ, with partaking of his atonement, there's joy in it. And when we, you know, when we eat the body and drink the blood of Jesus, so to speak, symbolically, where we there's joy in that. And Jesus is saying, as a Christian, be merry, be happy, be joyful, because don't give people a false representation of the gospel, because with a false representation of the gospel, people are led away from Christ, and we need to be good examples so that we can point people to the living Savior and the living Lord.
Amen. 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 That's very powerful. I did not, what you noticed, I didn't notice that. I didn't even know that about the wine being a representation of the Holy Spirit. I've learned something new. And I agree with you that if a Christian is complaining all the time, is upset and down or depressed and things of that nature, it's a false representation of the gospel. And God has enough power in His Word and in His and in spending time with Him to give you a joyful heart and that peace and that joy and that hope that He can give it to you when you are spending time with Him and taking things to Him. So thank you so much for your input there. For me, to me, this little passage here was kind of loaded with information, with impressions. I was received multiple impressions. The beginning kind of like it was comfort for me when it talked about a living dog is better than a dead lion. In the Israel days, they viewed lions with nobility, and dogs were considered the lowest of the low. And so for them to say a living dog is better than a dead lion, they're really trying to show you the importance of life there, because the dead, you know, in all their nobility is useless. They're gone. Versus the living, he may be the scum of the earth, but he's alive. He can do things. He can change things. He can help people. And in our society, we kind of have it backwards. We honor the dead. You know, I was having this discussion with my boyfriend when we were driving. We were talking about how we make monuments after the dead. An artist doesn't become famous until they die and things of that nature. But yet we treat those that are living like dirt. And so that's something that impressed me in that particular verse. Also, what impressed me is the rest of this from 5 and 6 as well. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. And they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Their love and their hate and their envy have already perished. And forever they have no share in all that is done under the sun. This says to me that the dead is sleeping. They're dead. They're not. And this is comforting to me, because there's so many texts in the Bible that confirms this, that the dead know nothing. They're not floating around as a soul, and they're not having a party in heaven. They're not burning in hell, because here it says clearly, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version, the King James Version says it a little differently, but it says that the living know that they will die, the dead know nothing. They don't know anything. They don't know the bad that we've done. They don't know the good that we've done. They're not watching us when we graduate, walk across the stage. They're not watching us when we're treating others like dirt. They don't know anything. And that was comforting to me, because my father just died in April last month, and it was a very sad thing for me. I feel that he was young. He was 49, and he died from natural causes, and it's because of his health. and he wasn't sickly. It was just, it was very abrupt, and I was so torn. But at the funeral, that's, the pastor said some things similar to this, and it was very comforting to know that my dad was resting and awaiting for God to come. So that stood out to me. And last but not least, the rest of it, 7 through 10, also Andrew said to me, basically, life is vain. You know, you brought out the text 9. It says, enjoy life with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life. And I like that you brought that out because life is vain, which means in the grand scheme of things, how many years? And compared to eternity, 80 years, which is, you know, if you're lucky to live that long, is nothing in compared to the whole grand scheme of things. It's a snap, you know. And so life is vain. It's here. You're here today. You're gone tomorrow. And, you know, you grow. You come in as a baby, and the next thing you know, you're an old person. And old people are always like, I don't know. Older people and senior citizens are always like, I don't know how I got to be this age this quick. To them, they were just young, you know. And so it says to me, it gives me hope, knowing that life is vain. That means that whatever you're going through, whatever you have been through, whatever you're going to go through, it is nothing in the whole grand scheme of things. You're going to be here, and soon you're going to be gone. And that can be kind of sad, but in a way, it's hopeful if you're a Christian, because you know that it's hopeful because you know that there, it's not going to compare with eternity of bliss, you know, eternity of spending time with God. So the 80 years of our life, the burdens that we go through, the trials, the people that hate us, the all these things, you know, you can say to yourself, you know, it's vain. And it will pass soon, and Jesus will come, and it won't even have mattered. And therefore, eat, sleep, drink, be merry, and whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. Work hard and make the best out of everything you can, because there's no wisdom or anything, no knowledge in death. And so that's what the impressions were for me. Andrew, can you see some of the things that I was saying?
Yeah, I do. I do see some of that about, you know, how we're supposed to, how we treat the living bad, but that's still better. A living person is better than a dead person. You know, that's what, you know, I see that. And, you know, just not taking your life for granted. I see that. So.
Okay, amen.
But there's a cross-reference for the Holy Spirit and the wine, the new wine. It's in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8 to 16. That's the story of Elijah and the widow. And that's where it's,
okay,
talking about, it's talking about the oil and the Holy,
okay,
Spirit.
Okay, sounds good. I'm going to repeat that verse, and then we're going to close. You're going to close in prayer, Andrew. We've run out of time, but go ahead and repeat the verse for us and then close in prayer for us, please.
It's 1 Kings chapter, hold on just a second, let me get it. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8 to 16.
Okay, thank you very much.
It's good.
You can look that up when you get a chance. Find that in your Bible. And Andrew is going to close in this segment in prayer with us. He's going to close the segment in prayer, and then we're going to have our intercessory prayer. And those of you who have things that you know, you have burdens in your heart, you're welcome to join us. Call in, dial the conference line, and we will pray for you. And that part will not be recorded, so you don't have to worry about your personal business being recorded. We're going to have a private time where we pray and we intercede for you, for one another, and for all of mankind.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for teaching us from your word today. We thank you for your presence and being a faithful God to us. I pray that you just draw us closer to you with your cords of love and help us to follow more closely in your example. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.